Item on the agenda, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 20-1120 pertaining to tile fishing groupers to establish new recreational and commercial possession limits, permit, and reporting requirements. Mr. Griss.
Sir.
Thanks.
Blue sheets being handed out are various additional public comments. Some other letters that have come in will be noted during the presentation.
Staples guys are a little short.
We're going to basically cover this in three ways. Look at the past, look at what's going on right now, and look at what's upcoming with this fishery offshore Virginia. Now, back in April 2007, this commission passed Regulation 1120. You set recreational commercial conservative limits. Recreational, you set a seven-person limit for tile fish, one-person limit for grouper. For commercial, you set 300 pounds per vessel per day and 175 pounds per vessel per day for grouper. You did this because there had been a series of meetings over 6 months, mostly with the Fin Fish Committee, FMAC, about species of concern in a just very developing fishery. You had blue line tile fish involved, which were considered for a stock assessment in 2004 in a CDAR. CDAR is what's called a Southeast Data Assessment and Review Workshop. It takes about 6 to 7 months to complete one of these. There's limited life history information available, but data did show downward shifts in length frequencies of male and female blue line tile fish. For snowy grouper, it was noted at that time as being currently overfished, overfishing was occurring south of Virginia. They are protigenous hermaphrodites. That's a term we don't use often here at the commission. They switch from female to male. Sex ratio in the early 80s was around a population, about 23% of the population were male south of here. By the mid-90s, about 1% of the population. For headboats, they saw average sizes in the 60s around 26 inches south of Virginia, drop all the way down to about 12 inches as of 2002. During the February FMAC meeting, Dr. Roy Pemberton with VIMS came and presented information about tile fish. He specifically went over the next two slides, one about blue line tile fish in the southeast region, their total length frequencies, and how they had shifted downward over time from the 80s to the 90s. They did this both in the males and the female fishery. He also said they saw the same shift in the age frequencies, male and female blue line tile fish going to a smaller age in frequency. We also had the same February meeting in 2007, Dr. Eric Williams out of the Beaufort Lab for NIMS Southeast. He came and talked to us about the snowy grouper fishery in the South Atlantic. He presented various slides, two of which are included here. Their full presentations are in your evaluation. But the two we'll present here is one noting the percent immature fish in the catch of headboats and in the commercial bandit rig fishery over time increased till around 2002 in the headboat fishery. They're seeing upwards of 80 to 100% immature fish in the catch. The bandit rigs were around 80%. He also talked to the group about exportation rates and H1 fish going up over time. Steadily increasing since the 60s, but in the turn going from the 90s and the early 2000 period, it was either though it was variable. He saw exportation rates going up 8, 12, 14% at times. He also noticed that the total mature biomass was on the decline since the 60s, hitting its low point on this graph around 2002. In the South Atlantic, the snowy grouper stock is overfished and overfishing is occurring. That is the current status. What's going on now? We got high quality fishery here in Virginia. Now, 2 years ago, we implemented regulations, and we have a very high quality recreational fishery right now and a commercial bycatch fishery. We've seen 22 all tackle International Game Fish Association world records set in this fishery in the last 3 years. We've seen 9 state records, a 20 pound 4 ounce blue line tile fish and a 68 pound snowy grouper. The Virginia Saltwater Tournament Blue Line Tile Fish Citations, which was enacted in October of 2006 at their meeting, the start in 2007. They saw 164 citation blue line tile fish in 2007, 137 last year, and already this year through May 13th, we've seen 271 citations. And that is 10 pounds and above. Isn't that correct, Lewis?
Got it.
All right. They also see notable catches of Warsaw groupers and wreckfish. These are the two current world state record holders for Blue Line on the left, Snowy's on the right. Impressive fish. Definitely something worth that 60-mile trip out. But with all that great information, that's all we got. We looked at other information on the recreational fishery. We looked at MRFs, everyone's favorite, Marine Recreational Fisheries Statistical Survey. From 1981 to 2008, we looked for all the records, and it only came up in 1 year, 2007, did they record anything from the recreational fishery. Just so happened that was the year we were talking about it a lot. But that was the only year that they showed blue line tallfish, regular tallfish, which is goldens, or wreckfish. No notations of any snowies or anything else in here. We then went to the Northeast Regional Office and received all the charter boat information from all the reports. Charter boats are supposed to file reports on what they catch out in the federal waters. We didn't see a whole lot there except for in 2007. Now, our head boats and our charter boats have assured us that they are reporting everything they catch out there. So we're not quite sure what has happened to their records up in the Northeast, but that is being looked into. But only in 2007 do we see any type of appreciable catch. In other years, we see very little. In 2006, you only saw 12 tallfish reported by any charter boats for that entire year. Last year, we only saw 194 reported by charter boats, 68 by head boats. We had more citations on the headboats. Grouper's not any different. You hardly see any grouper reported from Virginia in the charter boat headboat fishery. Except for last year, we did see in the charter boat fishery 21 grouper reported. But again, they have let us know at the advisory committee and all, they are turning in the reports, so it must be somewhere along the lines that data is being lost. Lastly is the commercial landings. Tallfish and grouper hasn't been a big highlight in Virginia up until the early 2000-2001 period. Then it started becoming a small blip on the radar. We started seeing tallfish landings up in the 3,000-4,000 pound range over for the entire year at that point. They're highly variable. We do see that big blip back in 07 when we were talking about it, though. Tallfish was up over 9,000 pounds and grouper was still up over 1,000 pounds commercially. But in 08, it's come back down a bit. Scientific information. The Marine Sportfish Collection Project, this is one of the projects that the Saltwater Development Fund handles. It provides funds for it that you approve through the Recreational Fishery Advisory Board recommendations. These focus on species that are difficult for our regular samplers to catch. We do a lot of bulk sampling with the commercial fishery, but we don't see many tallfish and grouper. So we added it to this project to try and get some samples in. Through this project, over the last 2 years, we collected over 111 blue line tallfish carcasses, 13 snowies, and over 6 wreckfish. We actually have more than that donated just individually. And when I say carcasses, what it is most of the time we're handed these fish whole, but they've just been filleted. But head to tail intact, so we still get length, still can get mostly sex data, and we can get some other information like age. Now, all this data has to be processed down at the Beaufort Lab and North Carolina for nymphs, because they do all the aging work on these species. With that information, they just got this back to us last week. They're a little backlogged by about a year. Blue line tallfish, females only, is on this graph. We saw ages from down around 2 and 3 all the way out above 20 being caught. Males, we saw a little smaller shift to the left. Still young fish, 1-2 year olds. Out to about age 11, 12. We did have one that was way out around 23. And then we have unclassified. These are ones we could not classify it by male or female. A lot of these offshore species are actually pretty hard to determine sex on. Now, blue lines aren't the switchers, but they still, it sometimes has a little problem handling it.
Is that a technical term?
Highly scientific, as we've been told today. So, snowy grouper. Another big interest here in the States, here in Virginia. And this, we actually have information on the graph of all the samples we collected that were male, female, and unclassified. Now, the unclassified, the little triangles, basically those are probably males. They are the hardest to identify in the species. And we've just noted in talking with some of the other scientists, it looks like, unlike what we're seeing south of here, in just a very small subsample, because this is not many samples, we are seeing, it looks like, a shift in the 40-41 inch range from female to male, and that's just an initial interpretation. But one of the things we need to still determine is recruitment to this fishery. We don't know if this offshore population from Virginia is actually being handled through localized recruitment, or is the recruitment actually coming from our south. We don't know if their spawn is coming inshore to Virginia to grow up to a point, because snowies do have an estuary component to their life cycle, or if we're being supplied from the south. So these are all things that have to be determined about this population. We also see wrecked fish. Wrecked fish south of here are overfished. Overfishing is occurring. We saw very young wrecked fish. Now, wrecked fish can get out to 30 years in age. We were seeing in the catch being provided to us 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, up to 6-year-olds. So a lot of these are immature and juvenile fish. Currently, though, south of here, the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council has regulations in place. They currently regulate from the Virginia-North Carolina border south around the Keys to their border with the Gulf of Mexico Council. They have an aggregate regulation recreationally. So you can go out and catch what they say 5 groupers, but really it could be 5 tile fish or 5 groupers or a mix, 3 tiles and 2 groupers, something. They have little sub-regulations built into this. You can't keep a Goliath or Nassau. You only can have a certain number of gags and black groupers. You can have no more than 1 snowy or 1 golden. So, but it's an aggregate regulation. That's what's currently in place today. What's coming? South of here, and that's where we are currently, south of here, they're about to have Amendment 16 kick in. Amendment 16, the Snapper Grouper Plan, has already gone through all the reviews for years and years and been signed off. It'll be implemented later this year. That 5 aggregate now goes to 3. So instead of having 5 tiles, 5 groupers, or whatever your mix is, you only have 3 of whatever the combination is going to be. So that's the first step. Amendment 17. Amendment 17 and 18 were presented to the Mid-Atlantic Council in April down in North Carolina by South Atlantic staff. We're going to use some of their information. Speckled Hind and Warsaw Grouper. We do see some Warsaws here. They're currently undergoing overfishing, and they're overfished south of Virginia. Now, based on what their scientists have told them, they're going to set annual catch limits initially of 0. Can't have them. Now, they're going to have to adjust these a little bit because, of course, there's going to be discard losses. So they're going to have to bring that up a little bit when they make some adjustments in the next year. But they're setting catch limits of 0 on this fish. For snowy grouper, again, undergoing overfished in the waters south of Virginia. They're going to have an ACL recreationally 523 fish. That means from North Carolina to Florida, no more than 523 snowy groupers can be landed total. Not by state, by all states combined. That's pretty strict. And how to regulate that's going to be a little bit interesting. Now, Amendment 17 also includes some other preferred alternatives that would prohibit fishing for or possession of deep water snapper grouper species, and groupers, tilefish, and all are in the deep water complex, seaward 40 fathoms. Now, I'm still saying this is south of Virginia for the moment. But seaward of 40 fathoms. So if that would happen to be up here, that means for tilefish and grouper fishermen in Virginia, you're not fishing for them anymore because they get caught beyond 40 fathoms. But that then brings in Amendment 18. Amendment 18, which is also in development concurrently with Amendment 17, includes the proposed expansion of their plan northward into mid-Atlantic waters and possibly as far as the New England waters. So instead of it being the North Carolina-Virginia line, it may go up to New York or it may go up to Maine. So everything I just told you before, 16 and 17, would then have an effect on us. There's another one. They're full of amendments in the South Atlantic right now in Snapper Grouper. They have what's called an annual catch limit amendment, which is mandated by Congress. By next year, they have to set these annual catch limits for all their species, all of them. If they're undergoing overfishing, they have to be in place next year. If they're not, they have another year to get them in place. So snowies and all that are undergoing overfishing. They have to have all those measures in place next year. How can they do it? What's the justification? Well, first off, there's no evidence that there is anything but a single stock out there. The burden of proof has to be that there's not a single stock. Otherwise, the assumption is there always is a single stock. Now, they already know there's increased harvest on some of these species like snow and blue line. Our own independent data here shows that. But they're also required to account for all mortality, whether it's here in Virginia, up the coast in New York or Maine. If anyone catches one of these species, they have to account for it. It's in what's called National Standard 1 of the Magnus-Stevenson Act. There's a whole group of national standards, but they are charged with the conservation and management measures that shall prevent overfishing while achieving on a continued basis optimal yield. Okay, so they're doing this all by Congress mandate. This is all by law. And extension has precedent. Mackerel fishery management plan extends here into the Mid-Atlantic. So we actually operate under a South Atlantic fishery management plan offshore. Dolphin and wahoo is the same way. And also for snapper grouper, it's likely. And they actually, each one of these plans gives two seats to the Mid-Atlantic. Now, mackerel FMP, they have two voting seats on their committee for mackerel. The dolphin wahoo plan gives one seat on the committee. Mid-Atlantic has already gotten two seats on their snapper grouper committee in the South Atlantic. They just haven't enacted anything north here yet. Now, Mid-Atlantic Council, they are notified about all of this in April. Their staff presented all these amendments I'm showing you here today. The Mid-Atlantic has sent a letter to the South Atlantic stating they move to request the South Atlantic include an alternative to propose Amendment 18 in their snapper grouper plan for a northern snapper grouper management unit for deepwater species to be managed by Mid-Atlantic in consultation with the South Atlantic. So Mid-Atlantic is asking for joint management on this issue, not just single management from one council. Staff has spoken with Roy Crabtree, who's the regional administrator of the Southeast Regional Office, and he said the co-council solution is definitely possible. However, all ACLs are for the entire stock and cannot be exceeded. Going back to the snowy grouper, 523 fish recreationally, if they extend it co-management, that 523 doesn't go up. It just gets spread out a little bit more. Now you wonder, where's the data to come to determine how many of those 523 get to come to Virginia? The timeline. This has always been an issue that's come up in meetings. What are the timelines? First page of, actually I'll take that back, the second page of your blue handout. This is an email from Rick DeVictor, South Atlantic Fishery Management Council staff, laying out the timeline for Amendment 17 and 18. They've already had their scoping document. They've already had the draft amendment complete. This upcoming June meeting down at, I think it's Fort Pierce, Florida, South Atlantic's having another meeting. They're going to review the draft amendment again, and they're going to include the Mid-Atlantic proposal. And they're going to have a discussion on it. Hopefully it'll gain some footing there. They were going to vote at this meeting to go to public hearing this fall, but they're going to delay that one more meeting now. So at the September meeting, they will seek approval to go to public hearing. They'll have those hearings. They hope now November, December, and not delay them into 2010, but that is a possibility. They're looking at doing the final review after public hearing in 2010 and having this implemented by the end of next year. So that is the current timeline. The ACL amendment, again, they have to have all this done by 2011 at the latest, and that's by Congress mandate. Now, last month, we had a public hearing request put forth through this commission, and some members, as you'll hear on some public comment, these are some draconian-looking measures. One grouper per vessel per day recreationally, three tilefish per person per day, not to exceed 18 on a vessel, dropping the commercial fishery down to 150 pounds of tilefish, 150 pounds of grouper. But it's important to point out here that those recommendations for advertising aren't staff recommendations of the final. It's just we're giving you the bottom, the most conservative measures that you could enact. You may decide to do nothing today, and that's perfectly valid. Or you just may decide to go the full measure of what was advertised or somewhere in between. It's always good to remember that those are advertised such to give you your range of options. So there is a range of options. There's four of them. Option one is status quo. Fishery continues as we have it regulated right now. We know we still have inaccurate harvest accounting, going on. We've kind of shared that between MERS and the NERO data. Upon the implementation of Amendment 16, those South Atlantic measures will definitely be more conservative than Virginia's regulations. And we also are not providing the Mid-Atlantic any additional negotiation value at the South Atlantic meeting in June. Option two is implement the recreational mandatory harvest permits and reporting that was outlined in the public notice. We still have the same fishery, but now we're going to get reporting from private, charter, and headboats. And we're going to be able to compare this to what's being reported to the feds and see where the problem is. It also gives us more data to use ourselves. Now, again, 16 is still going to kick in and still we're more liberal, but at least this gives a little something to Mid-Atlantic. And also it helps us out because we need this data. We need accurate data. Your third option is do that. Harvest reporting, permitting, limit the grouper fishery. Leave the tilefish alone. It keeps going, but limit the grouper fishery. It recognizes it as the one stock designation that they're dealing with. It recognizes the overfishing, overfished designation for such species as snowy grouper. And also gives Mid-Atlantic maybe a little bit more bang for their buck down there. The final one is do everything. Everything was in the public notice. So we're now down to one grouper per person, recreational, three tilefish, or an 18-vessel limit. This does everything. It matches Amendment 16 or goes further, actually. It does provide high negotiation value, but at what cost to our fishermen? Because there is no guarantee today that South Atlantic is going to include the Mid-Atlantic or any of this is going to go forward. Other actions by the staff, we're going to continue to press Maryland, Delaware, and New Jersey on the importance of an equitable management plan between all the states. Obviously, we're kind of hung out there right now. Virginia's doing all this stuff, but you just go north of here, and there's boats running out of Ocean City, running down the Norfolk and Washington Canyon, loading up on these species, hauling them back up into Maryland. And they have no regulation right now. So that is something. We are pushing for that. On the first page of the blue sheet that I handed you was a response from New Jersey on this issue. Deputy Commissioner Travelstead has been contacting the different states on this. And right now, the response from Peter Hemchek, the supervising biologist from New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife, was the only action New Jersey has taken on snapper grouper issues at this time is to document any fishing effort and obtain any available catch statistics, realizing that MERS has none for New Jersey and on the 71 species. And then it goes further to go a copy of Dan Furlong's letter to Charles Dwayne Harris, chairman of South Atlantic, requesting the Mid-Atlantic management of the complex, as well as a list of all the species in, basically, trying to paraphrase here to save a little time, but basically it's asking what the Mid-Atlantic is asking for. We're also going to have staff members go down and attend the South Atlantic meeting in June, supporting the Mid-Atlantic Council proposal for a separate fishery management unit. We will request also that Virginia has some of those public hearings on Amendment 17 and 18. So not just hold them in Carolina through Florida, hold some of those public hearings up here for our industry to be part of. And through numerous staff discussions with the South Atlantic, Mid-Atlantic, and NIMS, all of our counterparts, it really is our impression that it's more likely that the Mid-Atlantic will receive a favorable reaction to their joint plan if Virginia regulations are similar to Amendment 16. That was our initial read when we talked to our counterparts. You have public comment. Attachments 10 through 18 in your original packet, plus what is all the rest of the blue packet handed to you, has various public comments. We have a lot of saying, don't change regulations at all. Done the work 2 years ago, leave them as is, and allow the Mid-Atlantic to work with the South Atlantic and see what they can do. There are concerns that more regulations would basically do in the charter boat and the headboat fishery. And cutting them back to three fish or one fish would be awfully draconian to that industry when they're running 40, 50, 60 miles out. There are concerns about, and we've already brought this about, we're regulating tilefish and grouper, but the states north of us are not. and that is definitely a big concern. Other comments came in about developing a limited entry fishery, developing limits based on vessel capacity, not just have the overriding 18 fish per vessel rule, but maybe set up one for charter, one for headboat, one for recreational private. There was concern about lack of scientific information on the Virginia population. There was support for an OU proposal, which is currently going before the Recreational Fishery Advisory Board, about doing a study on tilefish ages for the Virginia population. VMRC staff is working with ODU on that proposal and working through the proper channels on the Saltwater Development Fund. And there was concerns that commercial catch per unit effort from 3 years ago has declined. That was also in public letter, the last one actually in the packet. So we have four options. We presented these to the FinFish Committee, FMAC, and they picked option two. Go ahead and put in mandatory harvest permits and reporting, but leave the regulation otherwise as is. Staff, looking at public comment, looking how far out ahead we are in Virginia on this issue, and the other states are not, and just how far do we stick our neck in this? Staff recommendation is the same, option two. In order to have option two implemented, we would recommend that the regulation go in place on July 1st. It gives us a month to implement permitting, get the system set up. These would be free permits. They're not licensed. They're permits, so they are free. And they would be to vessels, not just individuals, but they would be assigned to vessels. Reporting forms would have to be developed, and we have some online reporting options through both the Virginia Saltwater Journal and the Charter Boat Online reporting system. All these would have to be developed over the next month to get everything ready for July 1st, but it is definitely possible. And with that, sir, that's the presentation.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions of Mr. Grist? Comments, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, do you mind putting your aging chart back up there? And do you have any more backlog of data, or have all the hard parts been processed?
The majority of the data has been processed. There's probably a few pieces that aren't here, but this is a pretty strong subsample of what we sent them. And the problem we're having with the backlog there is just that one lab handles all southeast fisheries, and this one in particular, all the way up around to the Gulf. So it takes up to a year for them to squeeze us in versus their other priority jobs.
That's the tilefish
female. This is tilefish female. You want to see snowies? There you go.
Further questions?
Yes.
Mr. Kankard.
You mentioned reporting, and how confident are you in reporting in option two that we'll really see a private fishery report to us with the catch?
That would be an issue. We're just going to have to deal with it. If we know who, by having the permitting system, we now have people to contact. So that's the first step. We now know who really is going out there from Virginia through the permitting system. Then we can contact them and work with them on reporting. We can also work through other issues like law enforcement. If they check a boat, they can check them and they have a permit and have fish on board, we can get the reports from them to go back and see if they actually report those fish. So there are other avenues. It's not a perfect system, but it's better than what we have right now, which is almost no data coming in.
Mr. Fox.
Would the Maryland boats have to report if we go with the recommended option?
It only applies to those operating out of Virginia. The Maryland boats could easily skirt around Virginia waters and then enter back in through the Maryland state waters. We have no control out in the federal waters of what they really are doing. We control what they possess when they come into the state.
Further comments? I'm going to open up the public hearing, but my only comment so far is, you know, we've been dealing today with decisions that we've been making based on the best available science. And this is one way. It may not be perfect, but I think it's right. We have, as far as best available scientific gathering is concerned, at the present time. Public hearing is now open. Does anyone here in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, you need to come forward, please, to get you on the record. Yes, ma'am, please.
My name is Beth Senowick, and I've been following this, I'm concerned about if the regulations would go through at the worst case scenario that he mentioned, the one grouper and the three tilefish per person, one grouper per vessel. If that were to be implemented, my fear is it would hurt a lot of people charter captains, tourist industry. And my suggestion would be to possibly briefly close the season and let these fish spawn their eggs and just leave the regulations as they are. Just a suggestion.
How about the data collection aspect of it? Do you think that would be of help?
I'm sorry?
The data collection aspect that's preferred by the staff?
Well, I was reading an article that discussed that there are certain times based on the new and full moon that these fish spawn. And it also mentioned, interestingly enough, I know that one of the concerns is that these fish, that there's only one stock. These fish, when they spawn, they do it in one location, which is different from the gag grouper fish that spawns and then they float everywhere. So that if they do further study on this, they may be able to establish that this is, in fact, a separate stock.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir. Got you next. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Jack Reynolds, and I'm a recreational fisherman.
Hi, Mr. Reynolds.
I've introduced to the fishery here about 3 years ago with grouper, and I fish adamantly for grouper between Virginia and Florida, and have learned a lot from southern states as to tactics to catch them here. Until this became kind of public, and I'm for one am ever sorry that I ever posted pictures on Tidal Fish, because I think that's where most of this started, along with some others. This fishery is awesome, and we should protect it and do things in Virginia to help ourselves out. I'm real concerned regarding the southern region coming in, and I don't know the politics behind it. I'm sorry to say that word because it was used so much earlier. How they come in, and we're a region of our own, being the mid-Atlantic and being forced to see doing things their way. There isn't enough scientific data. It is what it is here. It's a couple years old. I would love to see the Old Dominion study go first and foremost, and put every bit of energy that we can put together as recreational fishermen, charters, you as a board representing that. So we do have good scientific data to go by. This fishery is incredible. We are out there, and part of the shame with this is Virginia has now been known. We've got the world records. We've got these big, large, nice, snowy groupers being caught. And we already voluntarily went back and we set limitations already. Maryland has viewed this, and I'm using them because they're one of the biggest offenders. If you're out there fishing these waters as much as I do as a recreational fisherman, and you recognize time in and time again, Maryland commercial boats fishing for these with absolutely no limitation whatsoever, to the point that if they get on top of one of your holes, they literally can clean out that one particular spot. They're all over the canyons. It's not one isolated little spot that you go to. People think that, but if you fish for them long enough and you see the bottom, you know what structure you're looking for, you know what habitat they live in, you can catch them in other areas beside the northern part of the canyon, which is everybody's favorite spot to look. But there, every time you're there, you see the guys from Maryland, they pull up, they load their boat, they do whatever they want to do with them, they take them north, and here we are again looking at getting even heavier regulations on us. As a recreational fisherman, and I have numerous guys that recreationally fish that feel the same way, I would gladly report anything that I needed to report to help the study. I love the fishery, I love the fish. Some guys marlin fish, some guys tuna fish, you know, some guys flounder fish. I grouper fish. And if I saw a determination through science that said, hey, Jack Reynolds, you can't fish for grouper anymore for a few years, I'd gladly do it. Well, we don't see that. We don't have that information available. Yet we're looking at even harder, you know, limitations on us. One grouper per boat. Even for a recreational guy, we do it for fun. This isn't a living. This is something that, you know, everybody's drawn to the ocean for their own thing, you know. We go out there. It's a long ways. It costs a lot of money. And more and more and more, with the economy the way it is, it makes it harder and harder for us to go out and enjoy this fishery. Yet, not only the grouper, but the blue line tilefish, we have commercial boats coming in from the south, coming up, loading up on the blue lines, taking them back with permits and licensing that they acquire. Yet, we get hammered again charter captains, headboat captains. You know, again, we're getting nailed, and on that side of it, you know, nobody's benefiting. As a Virginia industry, Maryland being able to do what they're doing with fish that literally, they're only going about 14 nautical miles farther than we're going to get to them, and yet they can go back and they capitalize economically in their fish houses wholesale, you know, right down the line. When they wholesale them back in there, their commercial guys get paid for it. Our commercial guys are limited to 300 pounds while they're catching 2,000. It just doesn't make much sense, you know, and I hope that you work this. I think option two is by far the best option, personally, and I don't feel like we should go any deeper with regulations than we are right now. They go with essentially what's going to happen is they're going to shut all of us out of the fishery. If they go to the worst case scenario, okay, we're going to shut down 40 fathom and out. It doesn't hurt Florida. It doesn't hurt North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, none of them. You can catch grouper in Florida in 26 feet of water. You can catch them off the North Carolina coast in 250 feet of water. We can't do that. So essentially, we're getting shut out. That's what will happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Yes, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity to talk to y'all. I'm Captain Jim Brinsfield. I run a headboat out of Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle in Lynn Haven. A lot of the stuff that was on the internet, a lot of the pictures y'all saw were my pictures. And I think I've worked Mr. Robbins to death over the last month trying to get my hands around this issue, and I very much appreciate this time to address you. And I've filed two written letters, comments in your package there. I hope you had an opportunity to review them. Basically, deep dropping is about one-third of my business, and I agree with we've been working with Mr. Travstead and Mr. Grist, and I agree with them that option two is the right thing to do right now. We're going to have to do more. We're all aware of that. We know it's coming. What I've done in the last month is I knew very little about this whole, the way all this fits together, and it's really a very complex issue. And I spoke with Ms. Kim Iverson at the South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, and she told me about these seats on their advisory committee for snapper and grouper. So I filed my application, and hopefully with support from y'all, I can get that position, which would at least give us a voice down there. So I filed my application there. I've contacted every one of the board members, and they all have said favorably that they would vote for me. So I feel pretty confident that in June I'll get appointed to the advisory panel. Mr. Robbins has generously said he would consider me if we get a northern management unit. So that would at least give us a voice. I have some suggestions that I just wanted to highlight, which are covered in my letter, but I just wanted to highlight them for the record right here. We don't need to hurry into these regulations. As you see, even the earliest time that they're going to be moving on 17 and 18 is late 2010, so we've got some time to work here. I'd like to form or have VMRC supporting us to form an ad hoc committee of people, the user groups, commercial, charter, and recreational, to get together. We know where we've got to get as far as reducing the catch, because we're seeing that in Amendment 17 and 18, to decide on how we get there. I'd really like an opportunity to get everybody together, get us all on one page, so we can come before you and say, or come before the advisory committee and say, here's how we want to get there. It makes a difference to all of us. I think her idea of closing down the fishery is a way to get there, especially during the summer when they spawn. We've got other fish to catch. You know, that's a great idea. Some of the recreational fishermen have said that kind of hurts them because the summer's the good weather and that's the best time for them to get out there. But we would hash all these things out in the ad hoc committee. I'd also like to ask the commission to consider stressed fish tags. If we are going to get to a place where we're only allowed one grouper, you know, per vessel, I can promise you that a boat like mine with 40 hooks down at a time or more, you're going to catch them. And when they come up, their eyes are exploded out of their head, their guts are falling out, they're dead. And to see a 60-pound grouper go back overboard for dog shark food just doesn't make sense. So if we could have a stressed fish tag where we could clip it and then turn it over to Mr. Grist or whoever to study, so at least something comes out of that fish. Because you're going to have a huge amount. People are going to be fishing for other fish. They're going to catch a lot of these things. And 530 grouper for the whole East Coast isn't going to last a week. So, I mean, that's the bottom line for it. I'd like to just, again, stress that there are no regulations at all to the north of us. If you put us out of business, Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, we're seeing boats there all the time, party boats with 100 people on them, you know, commercial longliners. They'll just decimate our fishing grounds, and we're sitting tied to the wharf. And I don't think that's fair. I don't want to see these fish go away. We have a great fishery. As was highlighted here, on my boat alone, we've had five or six records on my boat alone. So, and I know other people, it's a great thing for business. It brings business to us in the winter when we have no other business. Once the rockfish go outside of 3 miles or south of the North Carolina line, you know, big slow boats like mine are pretty much out of business. So it allows us the opportunity to continue to work, at least on good weather days. I agree also with the idea that we should fund the ODU study, and we're all working to try and promote that. I'll be at the next meeting to speak up in favor of that. I'm going to write a letter about that. And I think one of the things we've got to keep in mind is that some of this data, I mean, for me personally, I didn't even know you needed a federal license to fish out there for these things. And so a lot of that data from the older time is because nobody knew. And once we got the license, then we got this book that we've got to report it. So in the last few years, when everybody is up to speed about getting a license, you should see more data coming through. Why they don't have our stuff from 2006, 2007, I don't know, because I know I was reporting it. I don't want you all to think that we're not reporting it. I've talked with Skip Feller, who runs a headboat. He tells me he's been reporting it. There's several other charter captains here today that probably speak to you. I know they've been reporting. We've all talked about this, so I don't know why this is an issue about the reporting. I'm willing to, and I've already spoke to Mr. Travis and Mr. Grist about this, to make my federal reports available to the Virginia people. One of the problems here is I thought, and many other fishermen thought, that wreckfish were a grouper. So, I mean, we haven't been reporting wreckfish because we thought they were a grouper until a couple of years ago when we figured out they weren't. I feel pretty stupid about that, but they look a lot like. So that was one of the problems. I do support a reduction of golden tilefish. We do here in Virginia have a problem with golden tilefish. And anybody that fishes out there can tell you there's not many left. And if you read the old-timers' logs and everything, they used to catch a whole lot of these fish. And I think that you should probably go to one golden tilefish per person. But the blue lines are doing pretty good. I mean, we're catching blue lines good. And so, you know, going down to three fish, to me, it just doesn't make sense. Five fish, it should, as long as that fits within that what we're allotted, because the federal regulations may take over and we may be forced to take a reduction anyway. So what this committee, to kind of summarize, what this committee would do would be to see what the amount is coming, whether it comes from Mr. Robbins' outfit or if it comes from South Atlantic, to get, okay, what are you going to give to Virginia? And then figure out how we can do that and still stay in business. Because if we go to one grouper per person and three tilefish, we'll be out of business.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Avery. I'm a recreational angler. I'm a member of the Peninsula Saltwater Fishing Association as well as the Norfolk Anglers Club. Although I'm not speaking on behalf of those clubs, I know my views are shared by a lot of my fellow recreational anglers on this topic. I just want to bring out a few more points on this topic. I've been targeting bottom fishing now for about 3 years. It is no easy task to get out to our grounds out there. We're talking a 75-mile run out in open ocean. The further south you go, the shorter the run. And so the argument that there's a lot of pressure on these fish may be true in the south, and that's why the South Council ought to manage their own affairs. But up here, it's a long run to get out there. And so there is not a huge amount of pressure that I have ever seen out there that far offshore. Yeah, there are days, there are perfect weather days out there where there are more boats out there than average days. But those days are few and far between to be able to make a 75-mile run out to the canyon or to the shelf. So my point is the pressure that we get up here in the mid-Atlantic is not the same that they have down there in the south. The pressure is a lot less. The second point I want to make is it's not an easy fishery. As I mentioned, I've been targeting grouper now for 3 years in the boat that I bought 3.5 years ago. Do you know how many grouper I've landed in my boat? Zero. I've not landed a single snowy grouper. I've landed wreckfish, yes, but not a single snowy grouper. And I consider myself, although some of my friends may disagree, I consider myself a reasonably intelligent man, an Army officer of 22 years, a Master's of Science degree. I have studied numerous publications. I've gone to many presentations from these experienced captains who have dropped for grouper. I have tried to learn the game, learn the fishery. I study charts. I look at all the structure out there. I try to figure out where I'm going to drop next. I probably go at least a dozen times a year. So that's probably 36 trips in the last trip. I probably drop at least on 10 different locations on each trip, and I brought up zero snowy grouper. So
that's why they call it fishing and not catching.
Exactly. But my point is if you think that we're going out there and just slaughtering these fish, we are not. What you're looking at by these captains that are here are the exception. They are not the norm. They are the exception in what you're basing, you're doing the cry the chicken thing now is you're doing it by the anecdotal evidence by a few exceptional charter captains and a few exceptional recreational anglers like Mr. Reynolds, who I've been trying to find out there dropping, but I've been unable to.
I don't think he's going to take you.
No, he's not going to take me now, but well, my point is, my it's not an easy bastard. Fishery, and we're not going out there and slaughtering them. And many of my friends are exactly in my same boat. They go out there, they've been looking for them, they've been hunting them down, and they haven't found them either. So there are not that many snowy grouper being caught out there. If we went to option four, basically, I'd be done. I wouldn't target these bottom fish anymore. I would not go out there and target them. Three tilefish per person, one grouper per boat, I'd be done. And so would most of my friends. You're basically closing down the fishery by going to such a drastic regulation. So I respectfully submit that option two is a viable option, and I support that, and I would promise that I would report, get the required permit, and I would report honestly my catches every time I go out.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, Harry. Good afternoon, sir.
Harry Dorante, a commercial hook and line fisherman from Pocosin. And I sent in a letter, and one of my main concerns on the letter, and I don't think it can be addressed now, was to close the fishery during spawning season. And I believe the way it was advertised, why I'm not sure you can do that. Another thing that I have concern about is, on behalf of the recreational fishermen, I feel you ought to take the wreck fish out of the grouper and make it a separate category. The precedent set down south, whereby wreck fish are separate from the other 30-some species in the snapper grouper. As far you ought to take the golden towels away from the blue line towels. Whether most of you know or not, the sand towels that I've mentioned, 3 pounds is a monster if you ever catch one up here. I doubt if you will. But you ought to have a separate category on the recreational side. As far as the commercial side is concerned, leave the wreck fish in with the groupers and leave the golden towel and the blue lines lumped together. Our golden towel, we have a federal, most of us have a federal bycatch permit where we're allowed 300 pounds per trip. And to do otherwise is going to be a conflict with federal rules. I listed some proposed restrictions that if you have to do something or feel that action is mandatory to do something to impress the South Atlantic, then I would go to a private boat limit of 3 grouper per boat or 1 per person, not to exceed 3 per boat, and a 5 towel fish limit. And on the vessels carrying passengers for hire, allow 1 grouper for every 2 paying passengers, and allow them 5 tilefish per person. The gentleman's statement that there's not much pressure out there, go out there on a decent winter day, and it's pretty close to the parking lot. Now, I've been fishing out there with a group of Natal fish for 15 years or longer. There were four of us that used to consistently catch them, and nobody ever said anything. Nobody ever talked. When we started the sea bass project here 5-6 years ago, we gave one of the VIM scientists a world record blue line tile fish to eat with his assurance that it would not be talked about. And to this day, we've never heard about it, so he was a man of his word.
Thanks, Harry. Always good to see you. Anyone else?
Keep it real short.
Please.
A long day. I'm in favor of option two.
Good, okay, thank you.
And Mike, I have got one group.
What's your name, sir?
Donald Honeycutt, and I think for us to do nothing at all would not show that Virginia is not being trying to lead, at least, and show that we're trying to do what is right. And hopefully Maryland will pick it on up, but I think we option two is very good. And Joe, I think you really, really did a great job.
Thank you.
And I thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Honeycutt. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Matters before the commission, discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you heard from some of the speakers today and through the correspondence this that we've received, this is really the jewel of a fishery for Virginia. It's quite unique. It's produced 23 all-tackle IGFA world records. It's really a special fishery, and it's not enjoyed on the scale that some of our larger fisheries are, but for those that do enjoy it, it's really spectacular. But it's clear that several things are converging right now, really as a matter of changes in federal law that are coming to bear on the fishery. And we're going to have to do all that we can, and we are right now at the council level, to try to achieve some degree of flexibility. We want to try to preserve the fishery. I think it's in the commission's interest to do the same thing. But there's several difficulties. One is the fact that the councils are now under a new federal statutory requirement to develop annual catch limits for all their managed fisheries, and that catch limit cannot exceed the recommendation of the Scientific and Statistical Committee. In this case, with snowy groupers are on a fast track because they are subject to overfishing, as Joe said. So there are two different deadlines. One is for those stocks that are subject to overfishing, one those that are not. And the ones that are subject to overfishing have a deadline of 2010. And I think there's been some degree of misunderstanding about how that timeline would work and whether or not we have plenty of time to deal with this or not, and we don't have plenty of time to deal with this. I mean, the two trains have already left the station in terms of Amendment 17 and 18, and we really have to deal with those. The time to get options on the table was yesterday, so we're already playing catch-up. They've already finished scoping on these documents, so now they're looking at the options at the council level or committee level, and they'll be finalizing those options and sending them out to public comment. Modifications can be made, but the chances of success of getting substantial options added diminishes later in the game. So we need to be engaged, and we are right now at the council level, to try to achieve some degree of flexibility. And the only way to achieve flexibility for the Mid-Atlantic Council is to establish a separate northern management unit for the stock. And that's what we're arguing for. And that's critical. If we don't get that, then we're stuck with the coastwide management under that ACL. Now, even if we achieve that, though, as Joe said, the Southeast Regional Office's position is that ACL is going to be coastwide because the CDAR-4 is a stockwide assessment. And even though there isn't any fisheries-independent data for Virginia's fishery per se, in other words, the Norfolk Canyon hasn't had any sort of deep-water fishery assessment, we would still be constrained by that 523 fish annual catch limit. Now, if that's the case and we can't achieve any alternative strategies, then we're going to be bound by that, and there's really not going to be any prospect for directed fishing. At that point, if you preserve the fishery, you're trying to preserve an incidental fishery in which maybe a boat can keep a couple of fish, which is what one of the grouper options was that was discussed. But trying to get out of that 523 fish constraint is going to require ultimately some stock assessment work to be done in our region, and that frankly is going to take a substantial amount of time. I mean, that's not going to be in place by the time this ACL goes into effect. So the ACL is going to is on a timeline to go into effect. And I think the only way we achieve intermediate flexibility is to get the separate management unit established and then try to work between our two scientific and statistical committees, between the Mid-Atlantic and the South Atlantic. And in the northern range, since it's a data poor area, we might argue for the use of a catch-based approach to establishing an annual catch limit. Now, that would be a different basis for calculating that than the South Atlantic is using. And that would take quite a bit of work. But in order to do that, we still don't have decent catch data. The VTR data are problematic because they're very incomplete. I mean, we heard today that people are reporting their catch, but it is not showing up. I've had considerable discussions with the Northeast office about this, and it appears that the wreck fish are not being processed separately when they come into the Northeast office. So if you report grouper, tilefish, and wreck fish, and they go into the Northeast office, then the wreck fish are being categorized as other. The groupers are showing up and being categorized, but they far understate what we understand is being caught. So if we use that as best available data, you're going to get, you know, a share of what the VTR data indicates, and that's not enough fish to say grace over. So we've really got a data problem, and I think the issue of the wreck fish and how those reports are being handled, I'll send a letter to the Northeast office and ask them to correct that. But basically, the problem that we have here is a data problem, and so I think it's very much in the state's interest to begin to collect the data, because the commission can do that very quickly. It can be a transparent process. You know, the fishermen that are participating in the recreational fishery can report their catch. We can also require that on the commercial and head boats and begin to collect better data. So I think that's imperative, but to think that we have years to deal with this is really a misnomer. And I think, so you've got, on the other hand, the biological side of it, you know, there's a lot of concern in the South Atlantic with the snowy grouper. There's a little bit less concern with the tilefish, and the tilefish are on a longer timeline. They won't be required to have an ACL until 2011. So we still may need to take some action at the state level on snowy groupers in order to deal with the issue of the expansion of that fishery and make sure that we have something that we can preserve when these measures ultimately go into effect. But in order to do that, I think we would want to form a working group. Let's discuss some of these issues, because I think that at the end of the day, the problem is we're talking about such a small amount of fish that trying to figure out how to divide that pie up is just going to be difficult, because you've got directed interest and you've got incidental interest. And, you know, some folks might want to have a very short directed fishery in the winter when they don't have something else to do. And you've got other recreational fishermen that participate in this fishery incidentally during the summer. So you've got some different interests there, but we could try to work that out in a committee discussion. But I think what would be ideal is to get an update at the June meeting, because the June South Atlantic Council meeting will be June, I think, 9th, 10th, and 11th. And Jack Travelstead's going to attend that with Red Munden on behalf of the Mid-Atlantic Council. And we'll have an update at that point as to how our proposal is received. I've already met with South Atlantic leadership within the past week to try to fine-tune that. But we are discussing alternative governance models that might allow the Mid-Atlantic to have an appropriate say in the management of the fishery versus going to a full-blown joint plan. There are legal obstacles to doing a joint plan and trying to limit our interest to the Northern Management Unit. So a lot of these revolve around legal determinations by NOAA General Counsel as to what exactly we can do in terms of structuring the management plan. But at the end of the day, on snowies, we're really going to be in a tough spot, because right now the recommendation of the SSC is 523 fish. The only way out of that is through a separate management unit and science or some alternative approach to establishing an ACL for that fishery. And that's what we're going to try to do. But I think here at the commission level, if we get an update from Jack after he goes to the South Atlantic Council meeting in June and lets us know how that goes, we might reevaluate this and consider whether or not we need to take additional action. But if we do take action, go ahead and establish a working group. Let them discuss some of the alternative approaches. We even discussed with South Atlantic leadership the possibility of a tag-based fishery, because they're looking at such a small number of fish. But they're concerned that their inshore fisheries will incidentally take the 523 fish. And then what do they do? Because you're going to have accountability measures to go with these. It would essentially constrain the fishery in terms of the season in the following year. But if you go over that, annual catching limit, it's going to be accompanied by accountability measures that are brought to bear on the fishery as well. But it would be the end of the fishery if they extend the jurisdiction and close fishing deeper than 40 fathoms. We recognize that. So we're trying to do all we can to create and establish some flexibility through a separate management unit. And what that ultimately looks like, we don't know, but we're doing all that we can at the council level to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Further comment? Matters before the commission for action.
The adoption of option two.
Motion made by Mr. Holland, adoption of option two. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Rick. Thanks, staff. Appreciate it.